Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library Card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Support for WPR comes from Stoughton Health, an independent community healthcare organization, treating acute mental health disorders in adults age 55 and over, accepting many insurance plans. StoughtonHealth.com.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. The holidays are fast approaching, and so is the related shopping, stress, and debt that go along with them. We turn to two experts in frugality who say there's another way, from making the presents ourselves to setting better expectations around gift giving. They tell us how we can be thoughtful during the holidays without breaking the bank. When it comes to gift giving, do you enjoy the process or does it stress you out? What are the gift giving traditions in your family? Do you budget for gift giving? If so, we'd like to hear from you. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. Ideas@WPR.org. That's the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth Willard-Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Her book is called Meet the Frugal Woods, Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. Elizabeth, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also joining us, Catherine Alford, a personal finance expert. She's also CEO of the Alford Media Group, a media company that creates content for brands. Catherine, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Elizabeth, let's start with you. For those of us who are already breaking out in a cold sweat, thinking about all the money we'll be spending on holiday gifts, what do you think? Should we wait for Black Friday to find the best deals?
Well, in general, I recommend planning ahead. So Christmas and the holidays are not an emergency. I know it can feel like it, and we can all get so stressed out and overspend to such an extent, but take a step back, realize that it's not ultimately an emergency. Make a list of everybody that you really want to give to and need to give a gift to, and be thoughtful and judicious in how you met out those gifts. Set a budget. Set a budget. I know it does not sound like a fun thing, but have a finite dollar amount and say, I'm not going to spend above this, and then keep yourself to that. That's going to allow you to give gifts generously with love and then not wake up with that horrible cold sweat in January when you get your credit card bill.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of people. Catherine, when we talk about planning in advance, how far in advance should we start gift planning, and is it already too late?
I mean, I think it's never too late, but I always recommend starting in January. I personally set aside $50 to $100 every month starting in January, and that way by November, you have, you know, give or take $1,000 to spend on everyone on your list. So I am also a big fan of planning. But as for right now, what you could do is just have a more frugal Christmas if you haven't done the planning all year. Think about more thoughtful gifts, handwritten notes, things like that, home-baked goods to sort of get you over the hump of this holiday season so you can get through it without any credit card debt. And then starting in January, go ahead and make a plan for the whole year.
And Elizabeth, the producer Laura Pavin says she likes to ask for money for Christmas just so she can shop for all the deals the day after Christmas on gifts for herself. What about the idea of giving money or even gift cards as a gift?
That's fine with me. You know, I'm a big fan of giving people gifts that they will use. I really dislike receiving and giving gifts that aren't going to get used, you know, that are just going to go in the trash or be forgotten in the basement. And so if you know that a family member, what they really will use is a gift card to their favorite store, then that's a thoughtful, meaningful gift. And that also lets you stick within a very clear budget because you can say, okay, I'm spending $25 on Aunt Judy. Get her a $25 gift card, then you're very easily within your budget and you're getting her something she'll actually enjoy. So I think that, you know, another aspect of frugal gift giving is giving people things that they truly want and need.
And should we also think about using that time, like the day after Christmas, when everything goes on sale, to buy gifts for next year?
I think you could. I think you could do that. You know, like Catherine said, and like I said, I really think it's more of an annual planning system. I wouldn't necessarily bank on sort of those big sale days, because I think you're probably still going to end up spending more than you would than if you went more of a homemade route. So I make a lot of my gifts, which is not possible for everyone and is not everyone's jam. But if you can think about doing some thoughtful homemade gifts. So I have two daughters, and so I've realized now, I think four teachers that I need to do holiday gifts for. And so I'll be doing homemade gifts for them. We make homemade pickles, homemade apple butter, rhubarb compote. And if you don't have a garden and don't want a can, no problem. Bake cookies. If you don't want to bake cookies, buy a nice bag of cookies. You know, consumable goods, again, they're going to get used. They'll be eaten, and they're going to be a lot less expensive than buying jewelry or candles or something like that.
Catherine Alford is a personal finance expert, and Elizabeth Willard Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Elizabeth, you've written about something called an Uber Frugal Month. Tell us what that is and how it can help us during the holidays.
Yes, so the Uber Frugal Month, and it's a free program you can take through frugalwoods.com. It's a month of figuring out, what is the most amount of money I could save if I was operating at what I like to call maximum frugality? How much room do I have in my budget? You know, what is that differential between my take-home income and what I need to spend every month on rent or my mortgage, groceries, things like that? How much could I save? This is a really nice reset for your budget, and I do this with my readers every January and also every July. You can take the Uber Frugal Month at any time, but it is really nice to do in January to kind of reset. And this gives you an opportunity to see how much you could be saving every month. And as this ties into gift giving, I think that it's important to realize that we spend more some months of the year. And I think people become really surprised around the holiday season because their spending naturally goes up. You know, my spending goes up, your spending is going to go up. It's a pretty natural ebb and flow with your routine. So if you have a good handle on what you usually spend every month, this will help you budget for those holidays. So like Catherine was saying, start saving in January. And then by the time you get to the holidays, this is not a disaster. This is not an emergency. You have that money saved up. You have a budget set. You have a plan in place. And you also have some of those more frugal gift ideas sort of in your back pocket so that you're not necessarily jumping onto Amazon to buy a gift for everyone.
Catherine, what if you're a last-minute shopper? What are gift-giving tips for people who procrastinate?
Well, I'm a big fan of Amazon Prime for last-minute procrastinators, especially for buying teacher gifts and things like that. But you really have to search, like, deep within the Amazon Prime network. Like, don't buy things that are Amazon recommended on the first page. I like to set my Amazon to things like $10 and below. You could even set it to $5 and below. You can adjust your advanced search methods to make sure that you find things that will get here in 2 days, but also don't break the budget. And again, things that are heartfelt really matter. And I have two young children too. They each have three teachers. So I've also, like Liz, been thinking like, oh no, there's six people I forgot about already. But I have heard from teachers, you know, they have enough coffee mugs, they have enough Christmas ornaments, they have enough candles for their desk. They cherish the homemade gifts the most. They cherish things that your children made them or drew for them, or a nice note from you saying how much you appreciate them. So don't think that you have to go out and spend your money if it's last minute. Like, try to think of something creative and heartfelt, because you can sit down on one pretty snowy day in December and write out lots of notes that people will remember more than a $5 gift.
Catherine Alford is a personal finance expert, and Elizabeth Willard Thames is author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle book. They stay with us as our conversation continues. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stick around. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Okay, so we're a week away from Black Friday, the traditional opening day of the holiday shopping season. And for some of us, January 1st is going to find us looking at a mountain of bills and wondering how we manage to spend so much money. We're talking about ways to avoid that spending hangover. What's your strategy to save money on gifts this year? Do you make a lot of your own stuff and give that as a more personal kind of gift? What's a great gift that people can give that won't put a dent in their wallet? What do you do? Do you go the homemade route? And which homemade gift tends to be a real audience pleaser? Share it with us. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. Ideas@WPR.org. The email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth Willard Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Her book is called Meet the Frugal Woods, Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. Catherine Alford also joins us today. She's a personal finance expert and CEO of the Alford Media Group, a media company that creates content for brands. Elizabeth, are homemade gifts always better than store-bought? Well, Catherine, I'll put that question to you. Homemade gifts better than store-bought, do you think?
I think it really depends on the person, and I think it's good to ask and notice what people have. I mean, if you're mom already has 10 of your knitted sweaters, but maybe, you know, move towards something else. I would say meaningful gifts, but it really depends on the person. You have to be thoughtful about what they like, what they eat before making them something homemade.
And that is true, though. I mean, the idea of knitting a sweater for someone every year and then later on you find out they never wore any of them. Being thoughtful about this kind of thing is really important. But, I mean, most people like, you know, things like homemade jam and jelly or dill pickles. I mean, if you don't like dill pickles, we can't even talk.
Yeah, we can't even be on the phone.
I know. I have to say, the pickles we make are pretty good, and everyone does love them. I think there really is something to be said for consumable gifts, you know, because it's just so universally appreciated, and it doesn't go to waste.
And my wife had two Norwegian maiden aunts who every year they made a delicacy called Fatiman, and we always got it in little 1-pound coffee tins with either a $2 or a $5 bill attached to the inside of the lid. And I'll tell you what, I looked forward to that present probably more than just about anything I got. So a lot of times this can really be pretty meaningful. What about a customized holiday card? Does that count as a good gift?
I don't know if I would count it as a gift, but I think it's a nice tradition to have. I think it's a nice thing to accompany a gift, and there are lots of ways to save money on holiday cards. Actually, Liz has a great way. I know because I'm on her holiday card list. She has good advice on how to save money on holiday cards.
Well, Liz, tell us about holiday cards. How can we save some money there?
Sure. So backing up, I think people often assume because I'm frugal, that means I don't celebrate the holidays, but my house is like a Christmas explosion. I absolutely love the holidays. So for holiday cards, we take our own photos. So I have a tripod, which I actually found by the side of the road, and I put my camera on the tripod, and then I get my family really quick to stand in front of it, and we take some pictures. And I have to tell you, this year, neither of my kids are looking at the camera. My older daughter looks very upset. The baby is looking behind her, but it's a very sweet photo. It captures our family. And then what I'll do is take another couple shots of the kids so that I do get their faces to prove that my children do sometimes smile and look at the camera. But this saves a tremendous amount of money, taking our own photos. And I invest in a good camera. So get a good camera because you want to take those good pictures throughout the year. And then for making the card itself, I use Vistaprint, which is an online card making service, but I do not use their Christmas cards. I use their business postcards. So for whatever reason, when you go into Vistaprint or really any other online card making service, if you choose the business section, those will be much less expensive. And they still have plenty of lovely holiday related designs. You just remove all of the stuff that says like 50% off clearance, take that off, put your family name on, put your family pictures on. It's much less expensive. And I also send postcards. Postcards are cheaper than cards because postcard stamps are less expensive, and you also don't need to buy envelopes.
And
so
you
this
don't,
simplifies.
And you don't risk cutting your tongue when you're licking the envelope.
You do not.
always an important safety tip. What have you got kids to buy for, whether they're your own or nieces, nephews, grandchildren, what have you? It's kind of hard to please kids with homemade gifts, right, Elizabeth?
Well, actually, and Catherine and I have four kids between the two of us, so we have some thoughts on this. For my children, I actually give them used gifts. So my kids are young enough that they don't know the difference between a gift that I bought at a garage sale or at a store. So all summer long, I scope out garage sales and I buy for 25 cents, I got a board game. For 50 cents, I got a stack of wonderful books. For another 25 cents, I got a toy shopping cart. You know, this is a high value toy. And so you can find wonderful used gifts. I clean them up. I wrap them up. My girls are absolutely delighted. Now, as they get older, this might get a little bit old for them. They may not want used gifts. And so what I plan to do as they get older, you know, as they're teenagers and have very specific things they want, we will identify a few nice things that they want to have. For us, it's really quality over quantity. So I don't think that a child needs 20, 30, 40 gifts on Christmas morning or for a holiday. I think a few meaningful things that they're really going to enjoy works well. But I got to tell you, the used gifts and the hand-me-down gifts for the toddler, preschool, young elementary school age is absolutely fantastic.
Catherine, what do you think about what's your strategy for buying gifts for children?
Well, I stick to the four gifts rule, which is gaining in popularity. You buy them something they want, something they need, something to wear, and something to read. And you can source them from many different places. Some people buy four gifts and then have a bigger gift from Santa. But like Liz, I am also on quality over quantity. So think about for clothes, it just sort of covers all of the boundaries. So my kids might get new waterproof mittens and hats, things they need for school, but they also get something they want. So it kind of covers all of the bases, and you don't have 100 gifts under the tree. And I think they have more fun that way because they can really focus on the one thing they got that they really wanted and play with it all day, as opposed to being distracted by 10 different toys under the tree.
Let's take some calls. Jessica is with us in Portage. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my family has gotten quite big as me and my sister have gotten married, so we started doing white elephant gifts. So something that you want to get out of your house and wrap it up, and we have a fun little game, and everybody gets something kind of funny, and it's something to look forward to each year.
Okay, white elephant gifts. Elizabeth, what about doing a white elephant thing? Those are kind of fun.
I love it. I think the funnier the gift, the better. This is something my extended family does, and every year somebody brings like the high value item. One year it was a plastic lamb, like a lawn ornament lamb. So, you know, the crazier, the better. And it's a really fun way to connect, enjoy time together, not spend a lot of money, but still get that sort of gift giving spirit. So I love a white elephant or a secret Santa.
Jessica, thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to Angela in River Falls. Angela, go
Hi.
Ahead.
Hi, good morning. We just found, as our kids were probably 7 or 8, that with my husband with split families, that we had so many parents and so many grandparents and aunts and uncles, and the kids were getting so much stuff, and we were like, we just don't want any more stuff. So we'd get the kids a couple small things, but then what Santa or mom and dad would give is everybody would get $100 and a fancy card on the tree. But the stipulation was that $100 had to be used for an experience that all of us did together. So we've gone ice skating, we've got cheap tickets to the orchestra, we've gone and experienced 100 different restaurants up in the Twin Cities area or in our neighborhood. So it's just kind of more about making it an experience and a memory than stuff.
All right, let's Angela, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing that. Let's quickly go to Brady in Paria, Wisconsin. Brady, go ahead.
I was just sharing that we do an experience as well. We, instead of spending money on presents that the kids can go out and buy themselves, I rent a condo or something, and we all take a trip together and spend 4 days and enjoy one another. And then when the family, all the extended family, gets together, we do a dice game. It's called Bunko. And there's some gifts that are really hideous that just are a hit every year.
Moral on the kind of white elephant thing. Brady, we get it. Catherine Alford, what do you think about experiences as Christmas presents?
Oh, I absolutely love that idea. In fact, I can't say what it is, but I'm buying my husband a really cool experience that he's been wanting to do for a long time for Christmas. I think he's going to absolutely love it. I think that's a great idea. We all have so much, and most of us have everything we need. I think it's fabulous.
All right, thank you. We're going to continue our conversation about keeping holiday spending in check, but still enjoying ourselves. Catherine Alford is a personal finance expert, and Elizabeth Willard Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. How do you keep the holidays sane and fun? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Stick around. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, a lot of us have been there. It's the holiday shopping season, and the list of gifts we think we need to buy keeps getting longer, while at the same time our wallets get thinner and our credit card balances get bigger. So how do we get through the holiday season with our sanity and our pocketbook intact? Well, that's what we're talking about this morning on The Morning Show. I'll put it to you, listeners. How do you decide who to give gifts to? Family, friends, coworkers, teachers? Where do you draw the line? Does your family do a gift exchange? Do you draw names? We've heard people suggest doing a white elephant. Is that something your family does? What's the most meaningful gift you've ever given someone or received from someone? What's meant the most to you? 800-642-1234. Tell us your gifting stories at 800-642-1234. You can join us via email, ideas@WPR.org, and you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth Willard Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Her book is called Meet the FrugalWoods, Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. And we also have Catherine Alford, a personal finance expert, with us. She is CEO of the Alford Media Group, a media company that creates content for brands. Elizabeth, who should we be getting gifts for during the holidays? Is there any kind of hard and fast rule or even a set of guidelines?
I think open communication is your first key. So my husband and I, who we've been married for almost 11 years, we do not give gifts to each other. This is something that we discussed and decided on a number of years ago because we realized we were stressing out and spending all this time and money trying to find gifts for each other. That was ultimately more frustrating. And so we focus on doing experiences. So a caller earlier mentioned experiences. And for my husband and myself, it's going out for a nice dinner, usually without our kids, and enjoying time together. So we have completely stopped giving gifts to each other, which removes a lot of stress and expense. And then for my broader family, we've just had conversations about who we're going to gift to. So my sister has 3 kids. I have 2 kids. We don't give gifts to the adults anymore. We just give one small gift to each child, and that has worked really well. So I think having an open line of communication with the people closest to you is really important because a lot of times you'll broach this conversation and you'll be really nervous, like, oh, they're going to want to give gifts. And 9 times out of 10, the other person is going to say, oh, thank goodness, I didn't want to give gifts anymore either. Yeah. It's so expensive. It's so stressful. So don't be afraid to have those conversations with the people you're closest to.
But what about coworkers?
Set expectations. So for coworkers, I solved that problem, John, by working for myself. So I now work alone. Back when I worked in an office, what I did is I baked either a small loaf of banana bread or a batch of cookies. And then I would make up a little gift bag with a card for everybody that I worked with. So that was inexpensive, easy to do. I enjoy baking, so it was fun for me to do as well. And everybody loved getting a little baked good they could eat at their desk.
Well, I have to say that I had a, when I was still a full-time employee of this outfit, and I had the same administrative assistant for 27 years, and we always pretended that we never gave each other anything for Christmas. Things would just appear suddenly on an office chair, and they were always from Santa, but that was the extent of coworker gifting. Catherine, what about teachers? Do we need to get gifts for them?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Yes.
They watch our kids all day. They're amazing. Every time I volunteer in my kids' classroom, I just honestly don't know how they do their job. They're just unbelievable. Yes, teachers are actually at the top of my list pretty much before anybody else. But I don't think you have to feel like it has to be super expensive. I don't think you have to feel like you have to compete with other parents so that your gift has to be the most expensive. But getting to know your teachers and what they like, one of my friends, she brought a fountain Coke every day to work as a teacher, and one of her students brought her a fountain Coke on the day of their Christmas party. And that meant more to her than any other gift she got, because it showed this little guy was paying attention to her and what she brought every day and the gas station she got it from. It was really cute, and she remembered that above anything else. So again, it's about getting to know the people, but teachers for sure at the top of the list.
Let's take a call here. Rebecca joins us from Oconomowoc. Rebecca, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to tell about a gift that I received. That was the best gift I ever got. My mother passed away about 18 years ago, the day after Christmas. And she was a lover of plants, and she had so many plants. And one of my really good friends, her parents came and helped me go through her things, and they saw this sickly, bug-infested stained glass begonia and asked if they could have it. And I said, please take it, because it was dying. And the next year for Christmas, they had brought it back to its glory and gave it back to me as a gift, and it was lovely. And they had also kept a cutting for themselves. And theirs died, and I was able to take that same plant that they had given to me and make them a new plant. So it is the plant that keeps on giving in the spirit of my mother, whose birthday was Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. Rebecca, thanks. What a great story. Those kinds of personal and thoughtful gifts can be so meaningful, can't they, Elizabeth?
Absolutely. And I think what this highlights and what all of our callers have highlighted is that it is the thought that counts. As cliche as that sounds, no one has mentioned the dollar amount of an expensive gift as being the most important thing to them. It really is thinking about your relationship with this person and finding something that's going to be meaningful, which I have to say, fortunately, is usually less expensive too.
Catherine, I want to go back to something that that you mentioned when you talked about giving gifts to teachers and about the young person who gave the fountain Coke to the teacher. It really is important if you're giving a gift, to be thoughtful, to maybe watch and see what the person uses or to observe something about the person you're buying a gift for, and then give them something that they obviously like or need without, you know, saying, well, what do you want for Christmas? Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you a perfect example. My son actually has a male teacher, and there aren't too many male preschool teachers around, but this teacher wears, you know, socks with donuts on them and shirts with dinosaurs on them. I mean, he really embraces the preschool teacher role. My son, some of the only things he will say when he comes home are the shirt that his teacher wore that day. I mean, he just adores them. So for Christmas, I'm definitely going to be trying to find some interesting and unique socks. And that's very inexpensive, but it's thoughtful. And that's what my son says about him and notices about him. So those are the kinds of things you can think about. Ask your kids about their teachers, what they like, and sort of just pay attention and listen to them.
Let's take another call. John is with us in Milwaukee. John, go ahead.
Good morning. I called in a number of years ago. My mother passed away. My father had passed away before that. And my sister, at a Christmas, suggested that we had everything, that we started not giving each other gifts, but rather collect our change all year long. So we called it change for change. And we would, at Christmas time, have a big dinner, a big feast, and everybody would dump out the change, and we would count it, and we would pick out an international charity, a national charity, and a local charity. And each year, everybody was free to suggest one of those charities, you know, and we would vote on it, whatever. And we would give to those three different charities each year rather than giving each other a gift. And over the years, gave over $10,000 collectively just from change that we saved throughout the year.
Change for change. I love it. And Giving Tuesday is becoming more popular for adults in our lives who need less material items. Catherine, could donations be a better option, like the collecting all the change, the idea that John and his family have?
I think so. And actually, we just had a children's birthday party we went to where the parents said, please, no gifts. And no one really knows what to do still when that comes on an invitation. So what I did was I just made a $25 donation in the child's name. And that way I could put it in a card. And it shows that we were thoughtful and we did something with the money we would have spent on the gift. So, again, I think it depends on the person. Maybe kids wouldn't understand so much if they were little what that meant. But certainly coworkers, friends, family members, I think that's a very nice thought.
And Elizabeth, if you save all your change, that can really add up over a year's time, can't it?
Absolutely. And my husband and I actually have a donor advised fund, which is a way to donate to charities that's tax advantaged. And that's something that we contribute to together every year. So we sit down at the end of the year and we make a list of all the nonprofits we want to support. And then we make a determination of how much we're going to give. And, you know, I've never actually thought about that as a Christmas gift to each other before, but I guess it is because we do it in December every year. So now I can say, you know, that what we give to each other is charitable giving. And I think with little kids too, what I've recognized with my daughter is by giving her used gifts, she has started to understand that we then need to donate our things that we no longer need to other people. So she's kind of gotten into that concept of, I don't need this anymore. I'll give it to someone who does. So, you know, the money is less significant to a little kid, but she's definitely starting to understand the donation thing. So the only problem we have now is that she's trying to donate all of her sister's toys. So we need to work on, you know, what's appropriate. She's like, I don't think we need these anymore. I said, I think your sister does. But, you know, you can start to instill those values, I think, very early on.
Well, at least you can take comfort in the fact that she didn't try to donate her sister.
That's true.
You know, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, glass half full. We're talking about how to have a happy holiday season without breaking the bank and waking up January 1st with a financial hangover. By the way, if you want to make a donation at Christmas time, one of our Twitter followers suggested donating to Wisconsin Public Radio. You won't hear anybody on this program objecting to that. You can go to WPR.org and take care of that if you'd like. Yes, I totally went there. We're talking with Catherine Alford, a personal finance expert, and Elizabeth Willard-Thames, the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Our conversation continues in a moment. Please stay with us. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about how to get through the holidays with our pocketbooks and sanity intact. What's your strategy? And maybe share a story about what your holiday gift-giving traditions are in your family. What's a really meaningful gift that you've either received or given? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth Willard-Thames is the author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. She's also got a book out titled Meet the FrugalWoods, Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. Catherine Alford is a personal finance expert. She's also CEO of the Alford Media Group, a media company that creates content for brands. I just need to circle back to the teacher thing one more time, in part because both my wife, my wife's a retired teacher, my daughter is a teacher, so this is an issue for us. What about when your children reach, say, middle school or high school when they have multiple teachers? Do you give all of them gifts? Catherine, what do you think?
I think so. Again, maybe their favorite teacher could have something a little bit extra, or a little bit special, or homeroom teacher, someone they really like and appreciate. But I do think it's nice, again, because teachers are amazing, to have a little something. Again, it doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be expensive, but it does have to be thoughtful.
Okay. Let's take another call. Sue joins us in Fish Creek. Sue, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. We're a foreign service family, so we have lived only in developing countries, and we felt pretty strongly that our kids giving presents to cousins would go to organizations like World Vision or Miracle Foundation and pick out a grouping of ducks or a grouping of chickens or fishing equipment or seeds or books for the school. And that's what they gave their cousins for Christmas. And so a family in Uganda might get two ducks or rabbits or goats. And then as they got older, they got a little bit more, the focus changed, and they might give HIV rescue kits to caregivers, again, in African countries. And I think the thought that the money was truly going to something to serve other people was very important.
Sue, thanks for sharing that story with us. Let's go next to Julie in Madison. Julie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm right at a train stop, but my giving story doesn't have to do with Christmas. My son had a fifth birthday party 20 years ago, and he had everything, so we talked about not getting 20 gifts. And he came up with the idea of each child bringing a new stuffed animal. And after the party, we donated half of them to our local fire department and half of them to social services to be given to kids when they needed to be taken or there was a fire or a traumatic incident. And after the whole thing was over, the firemen gave him a ride on the truck.
Wow, that's fantastic. We had Julie and Sue calling in here to share their stories with us. Elizabeth, how can we encourage our kids to get involved in the spirit of giving?
I think we do it by setting an example. So as the last callers demonstrated, set up the expectation for your children that giving is a part of the season. Do an angel tree together or choose a charity that's meaningful to your children. My sister-in-law, when she was younger, loved animals. And so one year for her birthday, she did a fundraiser for the Humane Society. So she put on a bake sale, she raised all this money, and then she and her friends took the money to the Humane Society to donate it. And I think you really engender these ideas early. I think we have this concept, oh, I'll wait until my kids are teenagers, and then I'll introduce the idea of giving and caring for others. And I really think you can do it with very young children. Like I said, my three-year-old is already getting that idea of donating things that we don't need and giving to others. So I think you do it by example. I think you make it part of your family conversation. And I think what that also does is it helps turn the focus of the holidays or of birthdays away from receiving and into a broader sense of making the community a better place, spending time together as a family, and focusing on other people. So it kind of opens that pathway to talk about gratitude, to talk about privilege, to talk about all the other wonderful things that surround these holidays other than just getting gifts.
Catherine, what kind of gifts should we be getting people that always give generously when we really don't have the cash to reciprocate in the same way?
Well, I think you can always give an experience. You can always write a note, give little coupons. So if you have an aunt that always gives you generously, you can say, I'll drive you to your doctor's appointment and we'll go get a cup of coffee on me. Or, you know, redeem this coupon for a walk around the park with me and sort of give quality time. I think that's a great way to do it. And I don't think people who are generous with gift giving expect people to be in return. That's just some people's love language. They just love shopping and giving gifts to people. Some people get tremendous joy out of that and don't expect anything in return, or don't expect an equal gift in return. So I think you can always give the gift of time, especially today when we all seem to be looking at our phones all the time. The gift of time is a beautiful thing.
And how much, Catherine, should you weigh how much you spend on gifts for family with how much travel you have to do to get to them for the holidays?
I think, Liz made a point earlier about open communication. So you might be able to tell your parents, look, my gift to both of you is that I'm going to buy a plane ticket to come and see you. That puts me at my max budget, so I won't be able to put anything under the tree. Is that okay? And, of course, your parents are going to be like, yes, we want to see you. So, again, that open communication, and I absolutely think that you making the effort to travel during the busy holiday season totally counts as a gift.
Let's take another call. George is with us in Rubicon. George, good morning. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to relate a story about the most meaningful gifts given. I was posted in Afghanistan for 3 years with USAID, and I was on a forward operating base 12 miles from Pakistan. And Christmas morning, I distributed some chocolate chip cookies that my wife sent me to the guards that had been up in the towers all night keeping us safe, and it sure made them happy on Christmas Day. And kind of the Afghan soldiers that were on duty with them didn't quite understand what was happening, but once they bit into a chocolate chip cookie, there was a little bit of America right there.
George, thanks so much for sharing that story. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Nancy in Grafton next. Nancy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Back in 2000, my son was in his early 20s, and he was on a snowmobile down here in Grafton, and somebody asked if he was a good mechanic. The snowmobile wasn't working too good. Could Leo come down and see if he could fix it? Well, something happened, and the snowmobile broke through the ice, and Leo drowned. Well, shortly thereafter, this was on the 10th of December this happened, one of the women from Grafton here, who had lost two children when they were really little people, little babies, came over to my house, and she brought me this necklace, mother and child. And it'll be 18 years now, coming up on the 10th of December. Mm-hmm. I have worn that necklace every day of my life, and I always think of Mrs. Howarth. Oh, she gave me that necklace.
Nancy, thanks so much for sharing that story. Elizabeth, for all the people out there who want to get better at giving more thoughtful gifts, what aspects about a person should they consider when brainstorming a gift?
Think about what that person enjoys doing, what they need, what they could use. If they love to cook, ask them what they need for their kitchen. I think we like to try and assume what people might need, but my husband is a great cook, and I never know what it is exactly, what pan or what pot it is that he could use. So ask. Find out what they might enjoy. And on experiences, I think a wonderful thing to think about, as a caller mentioned earlier, are experiences for an entire family. So something like a yearly pass to the zoo or the children's museum or the aquarium. These are fantastic gifts that the family can enjoy throughout the year and are probably going to be a similar price to, you know, a bunch of toys that you might buy, but the parents are going to appreciate it and the kids are going to appreciate it and the grandparents can go too. So thinking holistically.
Well, I'll tell you what I appreciate. Elizabeth Willard-Thames and Catherine Alford, is the time that you've spent with us this morning. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Willard-Thames is author of FrugalWoods.com, a personal finance and lifestyle blog. Her book is titled Meet the Frugal Woods, Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. Catherine Alford is personal finance expert. She's also a CEO of the Alford Media Group, a media company that creates content for brands. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.